But a good auditor hasn't got time to fool with that. He just looks at the pre-clear, finds this pre-clear. He knows what's wrong with the pre-clear anyhow. Pre-clear's told him. He's already had a little conversation with the pre-clear. And he finds out this fellow has he's kind of sick at his stomach a lot of the time. You know, upset stomach. Well, what's the auditor do? When he remedies havingness on this pre-clear, the first step that he had better take is a stomach that is sick. Let's mark up a stomach that's good and sick. Now push it into your body. Now, a stomach that's sick and push it into your body, and a stomach that's sick and put it into your body. Now let's mark up a couple of stomachs that are sick. Oh, you can't get two. Well, get two in a row. All right, a couple more. Okay, feel better now? Okay, now let's spot some spots in the room. Bang, bang, bang. Bang. All right, let's mark up another stomach now and push it into your body and another stomach. Now let's mark up a stomach that is vomiting violently. Oh, you can get that real good. All right, we'll put that into your stomach. And so on, another one and another one and another one. Now see if you can't get them in two at a time. Oh, you can still get them in two. Well, that's all right. Push in a few more. All right, now let's spot some space here. Let's spot the space of the room. Bing, 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 bing. 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 Well, you say get another stomach now and see if you can get this one really violently vomiting. Oh, yes, I can get that fine now. Let's see if you can get two of them. Yeah? Yeah, I can get two of them. All right, get two more and push them in. Two more and push them in. Two more and push them in. Good, good, fine. Now, can you get three of them? Oh, he can't. Well, let's spot some spots in the room. Bing, 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 bing. Now, let's see if we can't really spot a spot in space now, okay? Bing, 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 bing. Yes, yes, yes. You know, things are getting a lot brighter. Bing, 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 bing. Bing. Well, now, let's see if you can't get three stomachs out there in front of you. Yeah, we'll push them in. Get four. Yeah, push them in. Now, see if you can get four of them around you so that they sort of make a square around the body. Yep, yep, yeah, I can do that. Push them in. They're awful thin, though. I can hardly see them at all. You know that now. You know I really don't see them well. No, no, that's okay. That's fine. Just get them out there so you can see them slightly. Push them in. Some more, push them in. Some more, push them in. Okay. Golly, you know this fellow about this time. He knows something is happening. He better. And he would. I don't care how fancy you were getting or how you were changing his space or what else you were doing. If you even vaguely work the case at all, you're going to be referring him to space or referring him to havingness, and this last one, or referring him to ideas. Now, you don't really have to pay much attention to this. You're just working ideas, like in 8C, some of the steps in 8C. But every time it says, put something out away from you now, and or spot some places, or anything like that, boy, you're right there into the problem of havingness and space. Now, of course, we just avoid energy, because energy is space on the way to becoming havingness, or havingness on the way to becoming space. So, of course, your pre-clear is going to get flows as you process this. They'll just go wham, 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 wham. Occasionally, you'll be having the Aurora Borealis and a 17-gun salute going off simultaneously. So flows, flows, flows. They're flowing out, they're flowing in, they're flowing this way, they're flowing that way. Skip them. So what? If an automaticity shows up that is so startling that he doesn't know what in the dickens happened, have him duplicate it. Bing, bing, bing. Duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. And he's, double with it. And go on with the process. The only reason you handle these automaticities, sometimes you coast by them and ignore them. You know, some trick automaticity says, you know, a Roman candle just appeared in front of my face and fired 12 times. And you as an auditor say, well, go on, spot some spots in space. He says, hell, the guy isn't interested in me. And he objects to this. He'll stay there kind of determinedly with the Roman candle. So if you pay some attention to the Roman candle, why, he'll go on processing. But sometimes you could process him for another hour after that with his case making no progress. Why? He's waiting for you to notice the Roman candle. Saul, the way you solve that in any event, something comes up. He says, you know, we were just spotting places where nuns would be safe, and you know, they're all on fire. You know, all of them are on fire. What do you know about that? And you say, that's very interesting. Actually, you don't give a damn. Really. I mean, basically, as far as the process is concerned, all the nuns lit on fire might mean that you had just run into his essential part of his life as Torquemada or something of the sort. Well, we're not interested particularly in this because all kinds of engrams will turn on as you handle and remedy space. All kinds of them will. So we don't pay any attention to this particularly. But he seems quite bemused and amazed by this. And sometimes the free clear will just sit there dully, you know, not responding for a little while. You've asked him to do something. You said spot some more spots in space. Obviously, it wasn't something that should give him a communication lag. And he just sits there. You ask him for every moment, what you're doing. And, he says, all these nuns just caught on fire. He says, they're all over the place. He said, and they're burning and so forth. Well, why don't you mock up a bunch more nuns on fire? Okay, and a bunch more, and a lot more, and a lot more. Yeah, he says, yeah. He says, now spot some spots in space, you say. In other words, let's remember this. When it comes to space and havingness, you're essentially involved with attention. When it comes to a viewpoint, you're essentially involved with attention. And if you get this guy into a position where his attention is fixed on some phenomena, which, good, bad, or indifferent, these phenomena have bemused him, you've, of course, got his attention out here. It's actually practically in present time. It isn't necessary that you've re-stimulated an old attention fixation. He's just interested. And he's so interested that he's making the space he's making. He's not doing the process you're doing. So remember, attention. It ties in with making a space. Okay, now let's run just a little bit further afield. Let's get a very old and basic process. Let's take SOP8, step 5. That is exteriorization by moving scenery under the preclear. You have him move scenery under himself until he exteriorizes. Well, this works all right without remedy of havingness if, he isn't a very critical case. If his havingness is critical, you've just started to run change of space processing on him. You said, move New York under you, move London under you, move New York under you, move London under you, move London. He starts to say, no. Ugh. Your case will bog because you are actually change space processing. If you were to run this change of space processing as a group process, why, you would have yourself the most amazing results, and the group, several of them, the occluded cases, would leave. Very amazing results. You start to process this group, the cases that are worst off in the group simply depart. The second you start to run change of space or run in too much space on them as a group process, the ones that are bad off will leave. Because in a group, it is very difficult to remedy havingness. And the only whole in group processing is the remedy of havingness. We can group process as long as we don't too violently upset people's havingness. And if we do, let's have an emergency auditor aside, and the emergency auditor should make it his first business to recognize that what the audit group auditor did was reduce this preclear's havingness beyond tolerance. Therefore, the group emergency auditor, distinct from the group auditor, the emergency auditor is the guy that reaches into the group and grabs the guy or picks him up as he races for the door or something of the sort and gets him into a side room and fixes him up and pushes him back into the group again. It's just a patch-up job. He isn't trying to do anything for the case, just beyond patching it up. He should remedy, the group emergency auditor should remedy the preclear's havingness. That is, get something he can mock up and have him pull it in several times. Optimum, of course, is just to mock up anchor points, but there are so many people that can't mock up anchor points that you have to go into acceptance-level processing. If they can't mock up an anchor point, you have to go into acceptance-level processing. All right, so we have this process, SOP8, step 5, where we have move these cities under you. Back and forth, city, 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 city. Change of space, remember. You just keep your eye on the preclear. The next thing you know, you're going to see a muscle twitch. Or the E-meter's going to come up and go rigid. Well, as a matter of fact, your A very, very poor auditor if you didn't notice it till the E-meter told you. I hate to say that about E-meters because they detect an awful lot and they take a lot of strain off of an auditor. But if you didn't notice you were taking his havingness apart before the E-meter stuck, you're dull. You're not on the ball at all. Because why? As he does this, you will notice a growing body tension. You're just running him fresh out of havingness, you know? And he started to pull in all kinds of engrams, which are just waiting out here a foot or two from him or a little ways away, but not particularly hurtful. And the second you start to run some space into his case, in other words, change these cities around, you know, distance. Anytime we start to handle distance, anytime we start to spot space, we are actually making the case unhave. And the tension comes up in the person, in the preclear, quite rapidly. And you'll notice that the threshold of havingness, that is to say, the threshold of remedy was what you're looking for. You're waiting for this threshold of remedy to appear. You know, it appears, and you remedy the havingness. And when you first started processing, you found that doggone thing appearing every 3 or 4 minutes. The threshold is right there. And then pretty soon, it's every 10 minutes. And then pretty soon, it's every half hour. And then pretty soon, it's every couple hours. And it's not until you get him exteriorized and are really chasing him around. Remember, you have to remedy having this in ratio to the amount of space you're giving him. And you start giving him changes of space all over the messed universe. Brother, do you tear my having this apart in a hurry? And so, as a result, you have to remedy it in proportion to the amount of space you're giving him. But as far as just ordinary processing concerned, maybe reach and withdraw in the childhood home, that's a space process, you see. Reach, withdraw, childhood home. He ran, and got a little tenser. And you says, okay, now let's see if we can't get some kind of a mock-up. What kind of a mock-up can you get? And he says, what's a mock-up? And you say, oh, an image picture of some sort or another. Well, what kind of one can you get? He says, oh, I don't know. I get this one I'm looking at all the time. It seems to have gotten closer to me, he will say. What one is that? Oh, that's my grandfather's face in the coffin. Well, why don't you mock up a terrifically decayed grandfather? Always make your mock-up worse for such preclears than he mentioned. That's the rule of thumb. What he mentioned to you is the suspended state of havingness. He can't quite have it. So you make it worse and it'll snap in. So let's have a decayed grandfather. Okay, one particularly with some worms on him, or some decayed flesh, something like that, and having the preclear going, yeah, he didn't want this. But snap, 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 snap. He's been staring at a picture of his grandfather's face in the coffin for the last 10 years. You knocked it out with 5 or 10 commands to walk up things and pull them in. You don't even consider this remarkable because that's not your goal. Your goal is freedom, and the antithesis of freedom is restriction. And energy in suspension or in terms of havingness is in itself restriction. So therefore, you're trying to free him out of this restrictive circumstance. He will note phenomena occurring and will be quite satisfied one way or the other. So we get into the other phase of what you do if you want to be a howling success as an auditor, is you set a goal for the session which you know you can achieve with the techniques which you can work on this preclear. All right, you set some kind of a little minor goal. It's just an obvious thing. Usually you don't set it before you process the preclear. You process him for a minute or two and then set it and say, well, we're going to do so-and-so with this boy. And then you just go on and process him until you do it. Something very simple. And when you have done it, why, end of session. And that way, it gives you a cycle of action every time. Not that you're delicate, but it makes him happy with you as an auditor. And most of the reasons preclears get unhappy with auditors is really not really even communication breaks or anything like that. It's because the auditor never seems to have a finite end to the session. He never tries to really get anything accomplished in the session. He never considers that it's up there and accomplished. And after a while, the preclear gets the idea of no end of processing. So let's take a case just in point. And I'll describe this case to you at some little length. Processed this case yesterday morning. We just grabbed him for your benefit and processed him. Because this case, didn't even come in the wet fog category that we put all Los Angeles people in. We got this case into the office because it was one of the doctor diploma cases of an auditor. And he was incautious enough to bring a real bad off case into the office in there right at the moment when I was fishing around for a case to demonstrate process on. Not for anybody, I just wanted to process this case so that I'd give you a little accurate rundown on exactly one case. Now, this fellow's been around for a long time, this case has. He's a nice guy, actually. But he's been around for an awful long time. Nothing much has happened in his case. He's been processed by many auditors. Many auditors have been interested in him. The auditors picked him up for a doctored case. You see, no fee involved in the thing. It doesn't matter one way or the other whether a fee is involved for a doctored case. But he picked him up and intended to turn him in. Well, this fellow have been processed, I know, by about five different auditors. His case always gets a tiny little bit better. Tiny little bit better. Obviously, there's something wrong with the processes which have been given to this case. This case wearing thick glasses. The eyes and so forth are very, very squinted. They're tiny little slit, usually visible of the eyes. Body sort of driven all the time, and a marked and heavy tension on the case, you know. Don't quite know where we're going, but we're liable to jump in any direction at any instant. And at the same time, can't really see where we're going to jump to on account of we can't see. This kind of an attitude. Well, this case was a setup for what I wanted, and so I processed this case for about an hour and a half. It's very interesting to process a case for an hour and a half these days. I mean, that's a long time. And you haven't yet maybe learned that, but that is. But this case was so deficient in terms of happiness that he was in a continual state of fly out of the room, the kind of an acute state that you'll occasionally put somebody into in a group processing session. He all of a sudden can't hold his legs still. He feels he's going to shake himself to pieces and he's going to run away. Well, this boy was in that state day after day after day after day, which makes an interesting thing, that he was still amongst us. What'd we do with this case? To get the case's interest, I didn't even tell him to go on processing. I snuck up on him. Didn't have any time to put any brakes on. You wouldn't ordinarily do that as an auditor. And sometimes quite effective. Also, it occasionally upsets their self-determinism. They all of a sudden find themselves being processed and they didn't consent to be processed. This upsets them, but this fellow is below the range of consent. There's the age of consent and there's the place of consent on the tone scale. And the place of consent on the tone scale is above 2.5. You're perfectly in your rights as an auditor to kneel on somebody with both knees and process them any place below that, consent or no consent. Well, anyway, he came in, and he was squinting around at this and that. So I said to him, take your glasses off and get the idea of how nice it is, all that blurred scenery. Just get the idea of enjoying all that blurred scenery. Guy hadn't even talked about processing, but he did. What did I tell him to do, you see? I said, look at some space. Now let's just be calm about it now. Now just take a look without your glasses. And his eyes crossed. And almost crossed over across. That's how scarce he was on energy. His eyes just went in whang. So I said, well, all right, now let's read this book. You know, it's a little havingness. See, it's a real sneaky sort of processing. Now, where's this book comfortable in front of you? There. Oh, dong. He got it about 5 inches away from his eyes. After been processing for a very short time, and that's just, you say, where is it comfortable? It's comfortable down the South Pacific. As long as you had your face in a book, you didn't know have to know what was going on out there. You were the other guy. He explains all this to me. No real significance, because his case isn't in a kind of a state whereby anything like that would spring by itself. But he recognized it, that he was buried in a book to escape reality right there. Bang. Good. Fine. Now, I said, let's take a look at the scenery and get the idea of enjoying a blurred point of view. What if everything were blurred? What if this book here were blurred? All fussy. Get the idea that it's printed in cotton batten. Oh, bong, see? And I made my own statement of what we were going to do in this session. This was just monkey business up to this point, see? But I made my postulate what we are going to do in this session. And what we're going to do in this session is make it so this man can relax. This man has probably not relaxed for 10 years. So let's fix him up so he can relax. Now, how are we going to have to do that? He's going to have to be able, obviously, to have some space. Okay? All right. Let's mock up a pair of eyeballs that aren't good. Bad eyeballs. Bing, bing. Yeah, sure. Oh, boy, can he get those. Crushed, he says. I says, well, get them with the juice running out of them. And he says, okay. Oh, he says, but that makes me awfully sick at my stomach. And I said, well, get a stomach that's vomiting. Okay. Oh, he says, it's awfully bruised. He says, you're sure vomiting, too. Yes, he could get that easily. It didn't surprise him. This is one of the first times he ever got a mock-up. But it was so sudden, and it seemed so natural to him, that, you see why? I never let him make the postulate, I can't get a mock-up. I just handed him two he could get. Obviously, he had a tense stomach, so he could get a bunged-up stomach. He had bad eyes, so he could get two bad eyes. So we just got streams of these things coming in, see? Streams of them. And we got more and more of them, and more and more of them, more and more of them. And boy, he started to get into a state where he was going to throw up any second. And he says, if you keep this up any longer, he says, I'm just going to throw up right here in your office. Well, now, look at this, auditor. If I had stopped that and had told him to spot some space, he would have thrown up. In other words, your control over preclear, if you know your stuff, practically monitors his autonomic nervous system. You could just change the process and make him throw up just like that. You could stop the hattiness. See, throw up, he's going to get tense, you know? Tension. He's going to push away energy of some kind or another. Energy manifestations are going to occur here. Well, the thing to do is, of course, give him more hattiness. So we just got stomachs vomiting twice as hard. And eyes which were really squashed at the same time we were getting the stomachs. And so on, we got that, you know, mock it up, shove it in, mock it up, shove it in, mock it up, shove it in, more and more and more of them. Okay, now let's get an idea of a nice blurred viewpoint now. You see, that's a covert method of saying some space, fella. Now we got some space. Okay, he looks around and he says, but you know, his eyes didn't go bong, they didn't cross. You see, as you remedy the space, you put him into a position where he's got to create some havingness. So then you ask him to make some havingness, observes or make some space, and gradually he shakes off the top of the curve so that he isn't just burning up his bank. And that's what you're trying to get him out of, burning his bank up. You're trying to get him out to a point where he just creates all the space and all the energy that anybody could possibly want or need freely without having to remedy anything, and that's your goal. Well, the goal with this fellow is, let's get him in such a condition that he can actually stand there, draw a long breath, and say it's a nice day. In other words, relax and enjoy the relaxation. Let's get him in that state. So therefore, we have to spot a little space, observe that blurred room and look out this way or that way, you know, a little space, and then we have to keep giving him this body. Now, you could say, actually, if you'd been watching the session, you'd said, Ron is knocking out a specific engram out of this case. Because we only worked with one engram. Only, boy, did we get lots of it. And I don't even know that I knocked it out of the case. The fellow accidentally has been in it for years. I didn't care whether he was ever in this engram or not, or what engram was turning up. It made no difference to me at all. If it had been a different engram or a dozen different engrams, I would have used them equally fast just to do these other two things, you know, just remedies havingness by making him condense masses into himself and expand by having him spot space. Well, we worked it up to a point of where he was getting a dead body, or a body that was dying, which was still being kicked and punished, its eyes smashed in. A couple of engrams flashed through, by the way. Galley slave, hit over the back of the head, knocked across his oar, so forth. He's told auditors about these things before. His interest in them is quite great, merely because they're interesting curiosa. Didn't cut any ice with me. I just ignored the whole thing just by saying, yeah, that's real interesting. Good, good. Now let's get that dead body there with the squashed eyes and the stomach and so forth and, you know, get the idea of its space being knocked in and being kicked and so on. Oh, yes, he says, I certainly can get that. You know, he says, that's all the space there is right there. He said, that's all the space there is right there. Yes, sir. Did I say, well, good, we've solved something with this case? Hell no. We didn't care about that at all. So I said, well, pick up the dead body and put it in yourself there and get another one now with the space all knocked in and put that in. Another one with the space knocked in and put that in. Another one and 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 another one. Jesus, that sure is relaxed. And then all of a sudden went into a terrific line charge. He had at last found something that was relaxed. I never told him my goal in the processing, see. He had found something relaxed. There's nothing quite as relaxed as a dead body. And this individual, in order not to be dead, of course, had to go around being terrifically tense. But that is the basic mechanism of life. It wasn't just in this engram. See? But this satisfied him a great deal. And I got him to look at some more space and mock up some more dead bodies and look at some more space and mock up some more dead bodies. And the next thing you know, he was rejecting his glasses rather impatiently. He's taking them off his nose and shoving them onto the desk and then picking them up and putting them on. I finally had to tell him to put his glasses on so he could see better, because he's looking around and squinting. You know, we hadn't gotten this case completely out of the woods. But we had this case in such a state that the fellow could relax, and that was the goal of the session. So we just ended it right there. First time the guy's relaxed probably in the last 10 years. So he's relaxed. Good. Goal of session. This individual, quite unwittingly, has wooed further out from the peak of the Miss Universe curve of create, survive, destroy, moved further out from the peak of survive, a little bit closer to being able to create and destroy. By doing what? Some space, some condensation. Some space, some condensation. Now, if I'd ask him to move his childhood home under him, or anything as far out as that, this individual would have thrown up, because that was too much for the case. So auditor judgment enters in here. This fellow can get fairly good mock-ups. He can mock up anchor points and pull them in on himself. He can do several of these little items, so on. Well, let's change space all over the place. He can't quite exteriorize. Well, he will very shortly. So we just have him spot places in space, pull areas under him, anything you want. You can do anything you want to do with a case, but every one of these processes that's successful lies on these three items: postulates, space, havingness. And postulates, of course, depend upon universe processing, which is a slightly different thing and what we've just been talking about, simply because we're changing universes around all the time. But we still have to occasionally remedy havingness with universe processing. But if you audit against that background, you will audit successfully. And if you don't, you'll have failures.